Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as we've been talking about the last several weeks, we know that our 1% don't pay their fair share. We've known that for a while. But some of the numbers that we're seeing coming out, like our good friends over at Americans for Tax Fairness have been doing some fantastic work at pointing out just how much our wealth class is pocketing and not putting into our coffers. In fact, the estimate of over $600 billion a year in unpaid taxes kind of makes your head spin. When you're talking about over 10 years, they're saying almost $7 trillion goes uncollected. And yet, the $3.5 trillion we're talking about investing in our human infrastructure is a bridge too far. Just can't do it. Way too big, according to Joe Manchin and Kelly Simina. I'm saying, you know what? It should be double that. We make people pay what they're supposed to pay, and we invest and make this the best country possible. And here to share some thoughts on how we can do that, how we can get the investment that we need, and the revenue to do it. I've asked Seth Hanlon to come talk with us. Seth is a senior fellow for economics at the Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org, their website. Seth, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So we can't afford it, Seth. Yeah. Too much money. We're broke. The debt, the deficit, all that. It's just not there, man. Love to do it. Love to invest. Can't do it.
I mean, like you said, I mean, if only we collected just the taxes that people owe already, right? And we didn't even have to raise taxes. But if we just collect the taxes we owe already, that would collect about $7 trillion over the next decade. So that's going to pay for the entire Build Back Better agenda twice over. Now it's difficult to do that, right? It's not not easy to make, you know, crack down on every example of tax evasion, people getting away with cheating. But the Biden administration has a pretty bold initiative to put a big dent in what's called the tax gap. So that the tax gap is the difference between what people owe and what actually gets paid. And it's a really common sense proposal. And they estimate it's going to raise about $700 billion over the next 10 years, you know, which is fairly modest in ambition. I mean, that's about 1/10 of the tax gap. But it pays for a big chunk of the Build Back Better agenda.
Yeah. But here, I'm looking at what ProPublica pointed out. We'll just look at Jeff Bezos, the richest man in the world, basically. They say his wealth grew by $99 billion from 2014 to 2018, and he paid $978 million, or a true tax rate of 1%. Look, you know, I don't know anybody who pays that kind of a low tax rate. They also say in 2007 and 11, he paid zero. This is the richest man in the world not paying anything. And we can't afford to build roads. We can't afford to feed hungry children. We can't afford to address the homelessness issue with veterans. We can't afford to pave the damn road out in front of my house. But we can afford to let this guy get off without paying anything.
I know. And the crazy thing with someone like with Bezos and that situation that ProPublica exposed, that stuff is legal. You know, I mean, the scandal is what's legal there. And that has to do with the failures of our capital gains system. And so we really need to reform those if we're going to get at the problem of billionaires like Jeff Bezos not paying any taxes.
Yeah, I mean, again, and I'm not saying anything against Bezos. Like you said, he's following the rules that he and his ilk funded to rig for he and his ilk. And I get this. And this is where the rest of us have got to stop having this Pavlovian kind of response to every time we hear anyone talking about we need to raise taxes, that we start foaming at the mouth. We say, who are we going to raise taxes on? Well, we're going to raise taxes on the people who have all the money and have not been paying taxes for the last 40 years. Maybe that's a good place to start.
I think so. I mean, yeah, if you look at the wealth growth of the top 1%, I mean, one statistic that I came across is really puts things in perspective. Over the last 10 years, the top 1%, the wealth of the top 1% has grown by $23 trillion, $23 trillion, just accruing to the top 1% since 2011. And of course, President Biden wants to spend or invest $3.5 trillion over the next 10 years. I mean, so just to put these numbers, $3.5 trillion sounds like a big number, but the $23 trillion really puts it in perspective.
Yeah. Now, how do we get to this point? You guys have a piece out now on bank tax reporting being critical to Biden's Build Back Better plan. What exactly is bank tax reporting? Who does it affect? What is it? And how is it going to help?
Got it. Okay. So this is part of the pay fors of the Build Back Better bill, right? So there's $3.5 trillion of investments. And like I said, about $700 billion of it is from a initiative by the Biden administration and the Treasury Department and IRS to make sure that people who owe taxes are paying the taxes they owe. So we're losing about $163 billion per year just from the top 1% in unpaid taxes. So there's two components of this tax enforcement agenda that President Biden's proposed. Number one is to rebuild the IRS, which has been just decimated by budget cuts over the last 10 years to the point where they have no ability to go after high income Americans and the largest corporations. They're just completely outgunned. And then the second component of it, equally important, is this bank tax reporting proposal. And so what that does is it gives the IRS a sort of better window into flows of money in bank accounts. And so, you know, so right now, if you're a regular person, regular worker, earning wages, the IRS knows exactly how much you make because they get a W-2 form from your employer every year. So there's no way for you to cheat. I mean, even if you wanted to cheat, you can't do it. The IRS already knows how much you're earning. But, you know, owners of businesses, particularly pass-through businesses like partnerships and S corporations, that's where a really outsized share of the tax gap comes from and where a lot of the cheating is. And the reason for that is there's nobody, unlike the W-2 with your employer reporting your income, there's no third-party information reporting. So nobody is sort of verifying and the IRS has no visibility into people's or partnerships' income streams. So what the bank tax reporting proposal does is pretty simple. It basically just says for bank accounts, you know, right now you would get if you have a $10 of interest, you would get a 1099 INT from your bank.
Right.
And the IRS gets that same form. So right now this says that for bank accounts above a certain size, just the gross inflows, so the total amount of money that has flowed in for the past year and the total amount of money that has flowed out gets reported on a form similar to the 1099 INT. So it's basically the sort of most basic top line information about money flowing through bank accounts.
Got it. So what my conservative friends heard from what you just said is you're supporting bringing the IRS back to terrorize us and shake us down, and you want the IRS and the government to snoop in our bank accounts. That's what my conservative friends heard.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of mischaracterizations of this proposal out there, and I think a lot of it comes from the lobbyists for banks, frankly, they're stirring up some of these fears. I mean, so I think we need to be clear on what this proposal is and is not. The IRS is not going to be able to see individual transactions in accounts. I mean, they're not going to be able to see what you're spending money on, who you're getting money from. That's not even it. It's just the total amount of flows in and out of bank accounts. And the reason that's important is that it's going to give the IRS the ability to choose where to look more carefully. So from the standpoint of an honest, ordinary taxpayer, they're going to be much, much less likely to be audited under this proposal, because the IRS is going to be able to find, you know, these business entities or partnerships or layers of partnerships that have all kinds of money flowing through that doesn't come close to matching what's reported on tax returns. So basically, it makes the IRS a lot sort of smarter and more efficient about how to choose who to audit, because they have an inkling, a clue as to where the real money is.
Right.
I mean, I think it's critical from the standpoint of you know, average people. I mean, first of all, the IRS already knows your income before you even file your return. But this proposal is going to make it much less likely for you to be audited, and not to mention give you a fair shake, because you're paying your taxes and, you know, the rich guy down the street or on the other side of town might not be.
Yeah, see, we need people to pay their taxes. I pay mine. I, like you said, every dime is accounted for when you work for a living, and most working people are that way as well. But we've been trained for a very long time to, anytime you hear the IRS, to get all angry, because nobody likes to pay taxes. I know I don't, but I know it's the price of admission. That's how we pave our roads. That's how we do all the things that we need to get done, and that's what we need to invest in the future. My problem is still the scale of cheating that's going on at the top, and it's not even really cheating. It's the fact that they've rigged the rules of the game to where they don't even have to cheat. They just hire enough tax avoidance lawyers, and they can avoid paying anything, which is insane to me when the richest guy in the country is paying the same tax rate as someone living below the poverty line. I got a problem with that.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, it's both rigged rules and rules that are being broken. I mean, I think it's both. I mean, I think the Bezos situation with paying an ultra low tax rate, I mean, that has to do with the fact that we don't tax capital gains until they're sold, and then so you can go your whole life, and then the so-called stepped up basis loophole lets billionaires go their entire lives and pass assets on to heirs without ever paying capital gains taxes on those gains. So that's the situation where the scandal is what's legal,
right?
But then there's just a whole amount of just illegal criminal activity, with, like I said, $163 billion of it per year coming from the top 1%.
Now, as you said, they're going to be looking at these bank accounts, and one of the things that I saw in the piece was landlords. Who a good portion of the wealth that the taxes that aren't being paid are basically these landlords who aren't paying tax on their properties. How would you catch these folks in what you're proposing here?
I mean, so if you write a check to your landlord and they're cashing that check and putting the money in their bank account and then not reporting, I mean, so let's say a landlord gets several hundred thousand dollars of rent checks a year. And then they report, $50,000 of gross revenue for the year. I mean, the IRS is going to send up a flag with the IRS. Now, the thing is, there could be innocent explanations. These group bank flows are not going to directly equate to taxable income, but it's definitely going to. There are just so many situations you could think of where, let's say a partnership owns a bank account, and there's millions of dollars flowing through the partnership, but then the partnership files no tax returns, and the IRS doesn't even know who owns the partnership. So that's that's a red flag. The IRS will want to look closer.
Why do we already have this? I mean, because I'll be honest with you, I'm a small business owner myself. I deposit a check in my account. There's no question that it's in the bookkeeping. So when my accountant goes to do my taxes at the end of the year, everything matches up, because the last thing I want is to be audited ever. And I'm of the mindset, I hope most businesses think the same way I do. You thought that it was going in. There was a record of it. There's a paper trail. You don't violate that. From what I'm getting from you is, That's not quite right.
I mean, I think the more you sort of read about the criminal cases that they bring and hear some of the stories. I mean, there's a lot of businesses that have a double set of books. I mean, I'll give one example. There's a case in New York about it. The Trump Organization, just completely kept two sets of books, one for tax purposes and one for reality purposes, right? And they just kept certain payments that were compensation for employees just totally off the books. So I think there's a lot of, the IRS has been so decimated. The audit rates for millionaires and for large partnerships have plummeted by so much that I think there really is a ton of just brazen tax evasion going on.
They don't fear a cop on the beat at all. So it's even worse than we probably even know. But you brought up the former guy, which has sent, again, my conservative listeners into a tizzy, because now can this be said that this is all about Trump and his tax returns? That this is what this is really about, Seth. It's not about actually investing money. It's about punishing the former guy.
No, I mean, it's not even about punishing anybody. It's about collecting the taxes that are owed under current law. I mean, it's sort of just that simple.
Yeah. Last line of questioning I got for you, because in this political moment that we're in, I'm sure you know it as well as anyone, It seems like nothing can get passed because nothing can seem to get agreed upon. I guess I should ask, what does Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema think of this? Because they seem to be the most powerful people in the country right now. Where's their mindset on this?
It's a good question. I mean, I think right now we have to get this through the bank reporting proposal through the House. Right now, the IRS, the funding for rebuilding and modernizing the IRS is in there in the House bill. But the bank reporting proposal is not in the bill yet. The chairman of the Ways and Means Committee, Richie Neal, said he's working on with the administration on essentially a compromise to exempt smaller accounts. And they have to figure out exactly what the exemption level is and all that. But they're still working on it. So it's not in the House bill yet. So this is why, you know, this is why we wrote the report last week to really put pressure on Congress. And then I haven't heard any concerns from Manchin and Sinema on this one. I think they're focused mostly on the size of the investment.
The spending size, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of misguided to focus on the top line price tag of the overall bill and not the importance of the individual contents, the specific investments.
Yeah. Especially if you're someone like Joe Manchin, who comes from one of the poorest states in the country, that this kind of investment could really boost.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, in so many different ways, the child tax credit and just so many investments in infrastructure, in the care economy, in childcare and education, and modernizing schools. I mean, just so many ways. But I think this whole initiative of the Biden administration and focusing on the tax gap just sort of underscores there is so much money out there that is just simply taxes that are owed but not paid. Yep. And if we go after it, I mean, we get, you know, so many hundreds of billions of revenue. It just is a further illustration that there's sort of just no excuse for Congress to skimp on the long overdue investments.
I agree. It seems to me like the low-hanging fruit, because we didn't even get to talk about raising the rates on the wealthy or on corporations. This is just getting them to pay what the rest of us pay. I hope folks will take a look at the piece. Bank tax reporting is a critical component of Biden's Build Back Better agenda. We'll get links out on social media how you can take a look at that. Seth, I appreciate you taking some time for us. Great talk with you.
Sure. Yeah, always fun.
Good stuff. Make sure you check out the peaceamericanprogress.org, the website. We'll get links out on how you can check that out. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.